Thank you, Adrian. You may be seated, everyone. That is not a new song. That is a very old song that we have not sung in many years, but I remember it well. And we are always glad to welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus into our midst and the work of God, and we're so grateful for that today. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And so it is appropriate this morning for us to read from the book of Acts, and we'll move all the way back to Acts chapters 1 and 2 and read the accounts of the day of Pentecost way back in the year, we believe, 30 AD, as Jesus has departed from this world by way of ascension and has given instructions to his disciples, his apostles, to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's read together at Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now we move forward about 10 days. And we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Let me pause there to say that I was a student of language in my college days. I earned a degree in classical Latin at the University of Missouri. Let me just tell you, I don't have experience in drinking, but let me tell you that I doubt that drinking could enable anyone to speak a foreign language. It takes great effort. So the spectators on the day of Pentecost came up with an unusual way to poke fun at the disciples when they said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Now to the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 37, Peter preaches, and the conclusion of the day looks like this. When the people heard this about Jesus, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Let me ask in the house today, how many of you are here today and the Lord has called you into his family? Let me hear a good amen. That means that the promise of Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit was not just for the first century or for the early apostles. The promise of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone whom our Lord shall call. The promise is good for today. So this morning, as we think about the day of Pentecost, here we are nearly 2,000 years removed. In just a few years, it will be 2,000 years exactly since the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where the Holy Spirit came and where Jesus empowered his apostles and his disciples. By the way, let me remind you that there in that room where the Holy Spirit came to fill not just the 11 apostles or the 12 apostles, because a new one was added. The Holy Spirit filled not just those apostles, but everyone in the room that day received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to look at that day and examine the events of that day of Pentecost and conclude with what the Bible says about this gift that is for us today. We begin by examining the story as, number one, a fiery filling takes place on the day of Pentecost. They are gathered there in the room for prayer. They have been there praying for about 10 days, we believe the math shows us. Jesus rose to heaven shortly after Passover. 10 days later then comes the day of Pentecost, and as the believers are gathered there in that room praying, they are praying and waiting. They are waiting because Jesus had instructed them with these words: don't leave Jerusalem until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. And so they had clear instructions. Many of those disciples were not from Jerusalem. They were from Galilee. They may have desired to make their journey back up north to their home places. But Jesus had been clear when he said to them, wait in the city until you receive the power that God has promised you. And so they're waiting. And they're praying in that room for 10 days, expecting to receive something from God. I'm convinced they didn't know what they were expecting exactly, because this would be a new experience for that young church. But they were waiting upon the Lord. And as they waited upon the Lord and prayed, strange sights and sounds appeared in that room. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It doesn't say a wind came, it was the sound of a wind. Came from heaven, and that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So we have this supernatural appearance of tongues of fire, this supernatural sound from heaven like the blowing of a violent wind. And the room is filled with this awesomeness, fiery tongues, and sounds of a mighty blowing wind filling the room. Strange sights and sounds appeared, and spiritual strength and supply arrived in the room for those disciples. As verse 4 declares, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised that if he departed from this world, he said, if I go away, the Comforter will come, the Holy Spirit will come, so that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone, but I will send the Holy Spirit. And in that room that day, as the strange sounds and sights appeared, the Spirit of God came, the power of God came, the Holy Spirit himself came to fill the hearts and the lives of those believers. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. From the last count we know, there were about 120 people in that room. We're not confident it was the same room on the day of Pentecost as in Acts chapter 1, but the group in Acts chapter 1 was numbered at about 120, including the 12 apostles, including the mother of Jesus and the women who'd been a part of his ministry, including the brothers of Jesus who had become believers after his resurrection from the dead, and including a variety of other followers of Jesus who had followed him in his ministry, about 120. We can guess then that in this room on the day of Pentecost, there were probably about that number as well as they continued to pray. 120 people, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Strange sights and sounds, spiritual strength and supply, and accompanying that filling with the Spirit, supernatural speaking arose. Listen to verse number 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Speaking in other tongues. No wonder the spectators there on the day of Pentecost thought this was a strange experience, because those believers came flowing out of that room into the crowd speaking in other tongues, speaking in languages they had never learned. And as they were speaking about the wonderful works of God, but they were speaking in languages unknown to them, but known to the hearers on that day and understood as praise and glory being given to God. Praying, speaking, declaring in other tongues. Now, this is not the only reference to speaking in other tongues and receiving this gift of a supernatural prayer language or proclamation language in the book of Acts. We find it again in Acts chapter 10. We find it again in Acts chapter 19. We find it prophesied by Jesus himself in Mark chapter 16 when he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will speak with new tongues." We find that praying, that speaking in other tongues referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as well. So as they began to speak in other tongues, they began to exercise an activity that would become a norm for that New Testament church as the Holy Spirit would fill people and they would begin to experience the power of God and a supernatural language given by God, speaking in other tongues. A fiery filling took place that day. As a result, a curious crowd began to talk. Some were curious. Verse 5 says, "Now there were staying at Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven." Why were they there? Jerusalem was packed on the day of Pentecost because they were celebrating the Jewish feast day. Pentecost was one of those celebrations that called for Jewish people, God's people, to come from all over the world where they were located, from all over the nation, and celebrate God's goodness in bringing the harvest there at Jerusalem at the temple. And so Jerusalem was packed that day. Some commentators estimate that there may have been close to 1 million people in and around Jerusalem gathered for the celebration of the day of Pentecost. Literally, people from all over the world. What better way for a brand new message to be communicated, a brand new church to be launched, a brand new gospel to make its way from Jerusalem out into the furthest reaches of the world? They're gathered there at Jerusalem, and they see this powerful experience that has taken place. They're gathered from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" In the King James Version that I memorized in my Bible quiz days, "What meaneth this?" What is all this about? They were curious. Some were critical. Verse 13 says, "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.'" A strange accusation. But if you're going to be critical, you've got to come up with some reason to be critical. And so the crowd was in amazement that day, a fiery filling observed by a curious crowd. And we receive then an answer from an apostle as Peter answers their questions. And Peter began to speak. Now, I remind you that just a few days earlier, Peter was so afraid of persecution that he denied even knowing Jesus there in the high priest's courtyard. Peter denied Jesus. He had said to Jesus before the crucifixion, "Oh no, I'll never deny you," Peter said. He made a great boast, "I'll never deny you." Peter said to Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. I won't betray you, Jesus." But when push came to shove and the heat came in, Peter became afraid, and Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Not only did he deny that, he denied it three times in a row. Bang, 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 Peter said, "I don't know this man, Jesus." And Peter was afraid. Thank God for the grace of God, because Jesus would forgive Peter. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Jesus would forgive Peter and would declare that later on after Jesus rose from the dead and would recall Peter into the ministry. He'd say, "Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep." So Peter had been forgiven by Jesus and had been called back into the ministry, but he still lacked something. He lacked the courage and the power to do what Jesus had called him to do. But Jesus took care of that on the day of Pentecost. And now on the day of Pentecost, Peter rises up with the 11. He's no longer a coward. Now he is filled with the courage of God. He's no longer afraid. Now he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that has just come upon him. And Peter rises up in the face of that great crowd at Jerusalem, and he begins to preach to them about Jesus and explain to the crowd that day just what's happening around them. And notice, Peter preached from the book of Joel in the Old Testament. And he said, this, what's happening here, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this is a prophecy from Scripture. Acts 2:14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now many, if not most, of those Jews gathered on the day of Pentecost would have had respect for the prophet Joel. Perhaps a group of them didn't have as much respect for the prophets, but most of them would have respected the words from the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And Peter says, what's happening here before your eyes is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy about the last days or the later days. This is a prophecy from Scripture. This is a pouring out of the Spirit. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, Joel prophesied, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Joel had prophesied that there would come a day when God would pour out his Spirit in a broad, widespread manner upon people all over the world, upon all people. All who would trust in the name of Jesus and give themselves over to God would be candidates for this gift of the Holy Spirit. A prophecy from Scripture, a pouring out of the Spirit. And Peter said, this is a prophecy of salvation. Verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So Peter says to the crowd that day, what you're observing here is a fulfillment of the Scriptures and the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Peter preached from Joel, and then Peter preached about Jesus. He preached these points about Jesus. Said Jesus ministered miraculously. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. So Peter is preaching to a crowd that has known about Jesus. The Apostle Paul would say later on in his ministry, this thing, this Jesus thing, was not done in a corner. And so the whole nation had known about Jesus, whether they received him as Messiah or rejected him as some kind of an imposter, they knew about Jesus. And so Peter says, this pouring out of the Holy Spirit, this is all about Jesus, the Messiah who has come. Jesus ministered miraculously. Jesus died dramatically. Peter said to the crowd, this man was handed over by you, to you, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, the Romans, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But, Peter says, though you killed Jesus, you couldn't keep him down. And Jesus arose and ascended. Verse 32, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has ascended to heaven. So Peter is preaching about Jesus and declaring to them here that what's happening here with this outpouring of the Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, this is a result of the ministry of Jesus, which has just concluded on earth, his earthly ministry, but it's just started in the big scheme of things. He says Jesus rose and ascended, and now Jesus is the sender of this Holy Spirit, he says. Verse 33, exalted to the right hand of God, Jesus has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. Jesus is the sender of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people from other traditions become a little nervous when you talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and prophecy and healing and all of those kinds of things. Sometimes people become a little nervous about that, but the response that I heard from a preacher years ago really makes it all clear. If it's from Jesus, it's got to be good. Would you agree? Would you say amen? If it's from Jesus, it's got to be good. And so Peter says, what you're seeing right now, everybody, has come directly from Jesus. He has ascended to heaven, and now he's pouring out the Holy Spirit upon all who will receive. A fiery filling, a curious crowd, an answer from an apostle, and four, we declare that this gift of the Holy Spirit is a blessing for believers. Note that this gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise and priority for all believers. Look at verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is a promise for all believers of every generation. Some church traditions would try to tell us that these supernatural demonstrations included in the book of Acts were only for the first century. They are what we would call, what many have called, cessationists. In other words, they say these supernatural works of God, these spiritual demonstrations of God, these closed out at the end of the first century with the death of the last apostle. That would be the apostle John, who died nearly at the year 100 AD. John the apostle was the apostle who lasted longer than the others. Not only was he younger probably than all the others, but John is the one who died a natural death in the city of Ephesus after having been persecuted in many ways. He continued to live, and ultimately he died as an old man. The cessationists would say, when John died, all of these supernatural manifestations recorded in the book of Acts, they died out with him. The problem with that thinking is that the Bible never says that. Nowhere in the scripture do we ever have any sense that these things would close out at the end of the first century. In fact, the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that some of these things will cease when perfection comes, when we get to the presence of God in heaven. Well, I suppose we won't need to pray in tongues when we get to heaven. But right now, God has provided us with spiritual resources that even move into the realm of the supernatural spiritually, that help us to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And I declare to you this morning that if God has a gift to help us be stronger, I need it. And we need everything God has for us. Would you say amen? And so this gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise and priority for all believers. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Take a look at these two notes now. Is everybody awakened with me? Say amen. Take a look at these two notes. The Holy Spirit lives within every Christian believer. Romans 8, 15 and 16. And to every believer is promised and available an additional baptism with the Holy Spirit, a gift of spiritual strength and empowerment. Luke 24, 49, Acts 1, 8, Luke 11, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9. The pursuit and receiving of this promise was prioritized by Jesus, by the apostles, and by the laity of the early church. Let me just make this note. As we think about progressing through the book of Acts, we remember that when Philip preached in a town in Samaria and nearly the whole city came to Christ, they were saved, they were baptized in water, many of them were healed and touched by God, but they had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John heard in Acts chapter 8 that this whole city nearly had given their hearts to Christ and had even been water baptized, but they had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John traveled from Jerusalem all the way up to that town in Samaria to pray over them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And when they prayed over that crowd in Samaria received the Holy Spirit as well. It was high priority to the apostles that the church, that believers receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be filled with God's power, a gift of help and strength that they needed. So this was a priority for the early church. Number two, note number two, when believers are baptized with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak with other tongues, unlearned and unknown to them, but given by God. And again, we see the scripture references there. Mark 16, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. The clearest word of all is given to us in Acts chapter 10, verse 46. When Peter is ministering in the town of Caesarea, Acts 10, 46. Peter is ministering there in Caesarea at the household of a man named Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Cornelius had seen a vision of an angel, and Cornelius had called Peter to come from Joppa up to Caesarea, right up north on the coast there, and to preach to them. And Peter came. The house was filled that day in Acts chapter 10. Peter preached to them about Jesus, and Acts chapter 10 says, while Peter was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were hearing the word, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter, as he's speaking to his fellow Jews who had come with him, six Jewish brothers who had come with him from Joppa up to Caesarea, Peter, the scripture says, those who had come with Peter were amazed that the Holy Spirit had also been given to the Gentiles. For, because, right there in verse 46, they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. The sign recognized by Peter and the apostles with him by Peter and the Jewish brothers with him, and by the apostles at Jerusalem in the next chapter, chapter 11, the obvious sign that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit was that they began to speak with other tongues, as occurred on the day of Pentecost. So the book of Acts demonstrates to us that when believers are baptized with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak with these tongues. We'll talk about the purpose of that in just a moment, but let's think about this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise and priority for believers. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit is precious and powerful to believers. And we look at these four simple summaries about how the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, impacts us and helps us as believers. One, the Spirit brings passion and praise. Jesus had declared in John 16, verse 14, the Spirit will bring glory to me, Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Look up at me and listen to me, everybody. The Holy Spirit always magnifies Jesus. There's no such thing as a Pentecostal church that does not magnify Jesus. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus will rise at the forefront of our attention. He will be preached. He will be magnified. He will be praised. He will be exalted. The Holy Spirit will always direct our focus and our attention upon Jesus. He will bring glory to me, says Jesus. So the Holy Spirit produces passion and praise to Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit brings purging and purifying. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Jesus himself had prophesied about this fire that would come with the Holy Spirit, that would cleanse us and burn out from our lives things that are displeasing to God and purify us. Listen, when the Holy Spirit gets to work in our lives, the Holy Spirit begins to flush things out of us and burn things out of us and drive things out of us that are displeasing to God and unhealthy for us. And the Holy Spirit causes us to grow in the strength and the nourishment of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is powerful in bringing purging and purifying. We say, come, Holy Spirit, and do your work. How many of you in the house today, you would welcome the Holy Spirit to both fill you with some things and to drive some things out of your life? Say a good amen. Yes. Holy Spirit, do your work. The Holy Spirit brings praise and passion, brings purging and purifying. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit brings power and purpose. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when the Holy Spirit would fill them and would fill us, the Holy Spirit would bring power to witness and purpose. We become then witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you here today, you want your life to be a witness and a testimony for Jesus? Say amen. The Holy Spirit brings that power and that focus, that purpose. As the Holy Spirit fills our lives, I believe we become more powerful, we become more courageous, we become more enabled as the Holy Spirit fills us. The Apostle Paul would say to his audiences, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive that power and we sense that purpose. My life is all about Jesus, about communicating his gospel and seeing people touched and changed by the power of God. These are purposes of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Passion and praise and purging and purifying, power and purpose. And we'll close with this thought, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brings power to our praying. And so we find in the scriptures a couple of different purposes, two different purposes in the scripture for this speaking in other tongues that we find in the book of Acts and in the book of first and second books of 1 Corinthians. As we think about this supernatural prayer language, We recognize that on the day of Pentecost, these were languages that became known to men. At least they heard them and understood them as such, as the believers spoke in other tongues. And then we find, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that this unknown language that we are given when filled with the Holy Spirit becomes a prayer language for us. And we read in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The entire 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians addresses moving in and out, addresses the gift of tongues and the speaking in other tongues and all of the purposes that has in the life of the church and in the life of the individual believer. We don't have time to cover it all today, only to say that this prayer language given to us at the baptism with the Holy Spirit becomes a fruitful part of our spiritual lives, bringing us a supernatural prayer language, so that when we don't know how to pray, we pray with the gift of the Holy Spirit and we receive, listen, we receive the good gifts of God as a result of the work and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. A gift for believers. So the day of Pentecost launched into the life of the church a whole new arena of living. The gifts of God, the power of God, the gracious blessings and provisions of God, the strengthening and encouragement of believers, the enabling of believers to do the work God has called them to do. I say to you this morning that in a world such as the one where we're living, we need the power of God more than ever before. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need, as Scripture teaches us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If the gift of the Holy Spirit was so important for the early disciples that Jesus would tell them, don't get out to do your work until you receive the power from heaven. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, until you have been clothed or cloaked with power from on high, stay in the city until you receive that gift, and then march out to be the people I have called you to be, not in your own power, not in your own wisdom, not in your own strength, not with your own smarts. How many of you know we don't have enough anyway? But in the power and the supply of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost. And here we are today, 2,000 years later, and God is the same, and Jesus is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And if God is the same, and Jesus is the same, the Holy Spirit is the same today. And we welcome His life, His work, and His fullness. With thanksgiving, in Jesus' name, amen.